Well, it's good to be in class again at Destiny Bible College. Mm-hmm. And we've got a wonderful table of students here today, or tables of those that are ready to study the Word of God and those that have come by recording. We thank you for being a part of this. If you'd like to have more information about Destiny Bible College, you can contact us and or the school and through the recording here. And you can even contact me at Pastor Harry, 8700. Yahoo.com. Thank you. We've already had prayer this morning. Mm-hmm. We'll look at our objectives that it talks about in this course, and we're actually doing a course level that is talking about biblical management principles. And I want each one of us to make a commitment today as we take this class in the next couple months, that we actually will pray for one another. So if you don't know someone in the class, because, you know, just because I'm the instructor, that doesn't mean that I cannot be teachable. I must be teachable.
Amen.
And we are always constantly qualifying ourselves. Now, I'm going to kind of launch into something that's a little different, but I think it needs to be said. I've said this since May, and I'm not giving any discredit to education, or we wouldn't be here. But Paul never exhorted any of us to go get a degree. He exhorted us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So therefore, even with the fact that we're taking a course of this level, talking about biblical management, I think is important. Because really it's to help sharpen us. It's to help us to shine ourselves up some. And you know, the military, if they're standing in ranks for an inspection from a distance, that brass may shine in the sun. But when that platoon leader or that sergeant gets up there and he sees that you haven't shined that brass, it don't matter to him what it looked like when he approached. So God wants us to shine. He wants us to keep ourselves sharp. Mm-hmm. And that's what the word will do. It'll cut away what needs to be cut away. And let me say this. I've said this to ministers before, and everybody in this room, to my knowledge, is in ministry in some capacity. If not, we're all in the ministry of reconciliation. But with the scripture that I quoted that we all know so well, there in Paul's writings about study to show ourselves, let me make a statement. I may have said this to some of you. When does a minister, and I'm going to state it that way, when does a minister become disqualified? Is it when they have a moral failure?
Yeah. She says yes. They decide to stop preaching and teaching God's
word. All right, that's part of it.
They
okay.
Stop
believing it. They stop preaching truth.
Okay, those are some avenues of it.
But what was the question again?
The question is, when does a minister become disqualified?
When he allows things to take place.
Okay.
That shouldn't.
I think that's when he has to go to prayer.
Okay. You're giving good answers. You're giving good answers, but I want you to think about something. Even if a man and woman fail, and I'm just going to throw this out,
it's still not
it's a sexual sin.
I don't
sin.
Think they ever become disqualified.
They don't.
That's what I was thinking.
There's something going on. There's a period of something going on for them to get to that place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
But the real issue is they have discontinued to study. John, the Revelator, wrote in the book of Revelation that we are to, he that reads is blessed. But he goes on, he said, we're not only to read it, we're to hear it.
Yes.
We're to keep it.
Right.
Yes. So that's how we become disqualified, is when we fail in that, because then it starts a spiral or a domino effect, because we're not getting our minds renewed, we're not keeping the Word of God fresh in us, to apply the word to whatever.
And that's the way Satan comes in. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's important even in a believer's life that they are maintaining the word of God, but more so because we have to look at the fact that we are to be an example as leaders or in spiritual leadership. All right, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to turn there and get ready to go there. But let's look at the objectives while you're turning there on page 2. It says, upon completion of this course, you will be able to define management, and there's going to be times that you'll define things in your self-test, and I think that's one of them that we'll deal with even in the first lesson. Identify spiritual resources over which believers are managers. You know, it's one thing to be in leadership and you don't know what you're leading. And sometimes you found out what you're leading once you have already gotten into that situation. And I could share some personal things, but we'll see if we do that as we go. But identify the main requirements for stewardship, or stewards, I think that's important. Identify the greatest example of spiritual leadership. Summarize what the ministry of management includes. Identify biblical positions of leadership. Mm-hmm. Explain how spiritual gifts are used in ministry.
Yes.
Explain how leaders work together in ministry. And I'm going to tell you, you can have all those above, and if there's not unity and harmony, mm-hmm. it can cause
yes.
some. It can cause
yes.
some havoc.
Yes.
It can cause
yes.
some havoc in that of the operation of whatever the ministry is. Let's see. Recognize the importance of anointing in spiritual leadership.
Amen.
List qualifications for spiritual leaders. Explain how to lead like a servant. Mm-hmm. Explain how to lead like a shepherd. Summarize the task of leaders. Mm-hmm. Use biblical guidelines to make decisions. That's very important.
Yes.
Use biblical guidelines to deal with conflicts and disciplines. Or discipline. And that's very important. I'm going to throw something out. How many of you have ever, well, let me ask a question. How many of you have ever been in any pastoral leadership? Okay. All right. I'm going to throw this out. You don't have to answer it. And I may elaborate on it. In 30 years of pastoring, actually pastoring, I've had one situation where I had to ask a lady to leave the church and not come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sad moment. It's not only a sad moment in their life, but it's a sad moment in your leadership when you get to that point.
Oh,
you have
yeah.
to do that. And I may elaborate on that a little more. But I will tell you this much. There's good that came out of that.
Yes.
That person's restored. They're living in Texas now. But they've been restored. Even their marriage has been restored. Several things. So thank God. Thank God for that. So there was a good ending to the story. And I lost church members over that.
Mm-hmm.
We lost church members. And one of them was a family member.
Mm.
My brother. Mm. And that gets close when you start having that. Well, let's stop right there. All right. Summarize the task of leaders. Okay, use biblical guidelines and make decisions. Use biblical guidelines to deal with conflicts and scripture, and discipline. Train leaders and followers. Turn failures into success. Apply biblical principles to success. Identify the cost of leadership. Explain the true test of spiritual leadership. So those are some of the things that this course will definitely deal with. Did you have your hand up? Sorry. Okay. All right. Okay. Maybe you was having a last minute shout in that prayer. All right. I thought I saw somebody's hand. All right. I'm not going to go over, I am because we're on chapter 1. I'm sorry. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 3, and we're going to read this. I'm going to attempt to read some scripture as we go. Now, I want to give a personal observation about this passage of scripture. I honestly believe that it is a well-worthy scripture to use for what the study is doing. I do use other translations, but I understand from a general rule of this study what the writer is attempting to do, talk about leadership in a general means than just a particular area of leadership. So on the up and up, or just right off the cuff, I don't like, or it's not my preference, the New English Bible here. I'm not saying I've got anything against the New English Bible, but what I'm saying, this scripture itself, because I don't think it goes into the intent of everything that needs to be said. But I understand from the syllabus and the writer why he's doing this, or she. I can't remember, but anyway, the writer of it, they're making it a broad, they're using it overall with leadership, because this passage definitely deals with the office of a bishop. That's why I'm making that statement. So don't misunderstand me, that I didn't mean that I have a problem with that particular translation necessarily. But it says here in our syllabus, it says to aspire to leadership is an honorable admonition. So overall it is, whatever the spiritual leadership is. But in the King James, it says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And it goes on and it elaborates on some things, and I won't go ahead and read that right at the moment, because we will be speaking of some of those things.
Is that 1 Timothy 3:1?
1 Timothy 3:1, definitely through about verse number 7. And then later it goes on into the office of the deacon, and we know some of the similarities. Some of the similarities of those two offices. All right. The chapter introduces the ministry of management. When we speak of management, we are not talking about secular management like that evident in the business world. We are speaking of management, or managing spiritual resources for the work of the ministry. Now, I'm not saying there's not some practical things out of here in the world that will be beneficial for us to know and to be helpful. One of the things that I don't like, but I understand, church is looked at as a business.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that it's more than a business.
Right.
But if we're going to be even scripturally sound, we've got to be in order. I mean, we need
That's
things
right.
in order.
Mm-hmm.
Even finances need to be in order. Maybe we'll talk about some of these things as we go along. So let's move along. We find here that it's talking about definition of management, and that's one of the things that the objective said, that we will understand how to define or have a definition of management. And if you want to take out your self-test, you can do that. You can do that, and you can write, that's on page 11, as you go along, and that way you'll have part of your homework. Now, if you choose to make notes in your notebook and then go back and fill this in because you want to make a copy of this, that's up to you, however you want to do it. But it'll give you the opportunity to do that. Now, it says here, management is another word for stewardship. And I think that's a stronger word, especially when we speak in a spiritual significance of leadership. But even in the natural world or business, people need to be good stewards. Just because you're in management don't mean that you don't need to be a good steward of the resources of that business or that company. Because it may cause you not only other people's jobs, but your job.
Mm-hmm.
Management is another word for stewardship, stewards, or manager are responsible over something entrusted to them by someone. So what that means is it doesn't necessarily belong to you. It was not one of my favorite jobs, and it was a job that I had for a little while, could have made a career out of it. Of course, ministry is my first, but I was pastoring, and I needed to make some income. And how many of you are familiar with the armored trucks?
Yes.
Okay. I did that for 8 months, carried a firearm, because I had a CDL, stayed in truck more than I did anything else, and they thought that was wonderful that I had a CDL, paid me a couple of dollars more, because I could drive one of the trucks that most people couldn't drive. But anyway, at $17.3 million, I came up 85 from Charlotte, North Carolina to Kernersville. Didn't belong to me, but it was my responsibility.
That's right.
And that's scary when you partner in the mm-hmm. truck. He's doing the paperwork. He says, you know how much money we got on the back of this truck?
Mm.
And I probably shouldn't be telling this and it recorded. But anyway, I knew there was $50,000 worth of pennies on the back of that truck, because we had loaded them from the Federal Reserve. But then all of our other securities that were on there. So anyway, it was our responsibility to get that back where it needed to be safely. So it necessarily doesn't belong to us. Management is the process of accomplishing God's purpose and plans through proper use of human, material, and spiritual resources. Mm-hmm. Management is evaluated by whether or not these plans and purposes are accomplished. And then, of course, the writer here says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 53:6. So, us as sheep, we always need to know that there's some direction. As a sheep, must be directed, move along a single path. So people need direction so their efforts and energies will accomplish God's purpose and plans. So even on a job, we must be teachable at an entry level, or if we are moving up in the company, we must be teachable, and we need to take the responsibility of understanding that we have responsibilities to take care of these things just as if they did belong to us.
Probably not.
All right, if you'll, and we can go over the definitions when we get there, but if you'll see, it first of all tells you to write the key verse from memory. I actually wrote what the writer had wrote here out of the New English Bible. Then I went back and I wrote it out of the King James. So I'm not going to penalize you if you put just what the writer has, but I would encourage you, if you want to, go ahead and put the translation of the King James in that line on page 11 for your key memory verse. So there's a memory verse in most of these lessons, I believe all 13. And so 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 is going to be your memory verse. All right. There's spiritual resources. Spiritual resources. Now, as I said a few moments ago, I was responsible for those securities that were in that truck. We have some responsibilities. And the writer says all believers are stewards of certain resources given by God. And he lists these. And there's other things too. But he lists, I think, things from a spiritual perspective of us being in leadership and doing ministry. We're definitely to be stewards of the gospel. That means that sometimes it's not what we say. It's just the fact, I believe you just said, go ahead. What you do, how we live, it's not what we say. It's just what people see. The message is there. Have you ever, and I know you have you ever just somebody you don't even know, you cross their path and all of a sudden maybe it's a, hey, good morning. Mm-hmm. The next thing you know, you both stop and you just know. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, maybe you don't think about it. And maybe you've got more conscious of it. They're a believer too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Or you discern somebody's got something going on in their life and maybe something, yeah, you know, God opens just a window or a door, an opportunity to share with them. All right, we definitely need to be stewards. I like using that word, steward. Every believer is a steward of their personal finances, but leaders who control money of a church or Christian organization are also stewards of these funds. Is it all right if I say this, Tammy?
Yeah, it's fine.
That you don't know what I'm going to say.
I said I do, but anyway, go ahead.
And that's part of her spirit. That's part of her responsibilities. My wife's been a clerk, treasurer of the church, and I'm going to make a statement right here. I know every organization, every church may have different ways that they do things. In those 30 years that I pastored five churches, I'm not an actual lead pastor where I attend. Did I ever touch church finances? Yes. What was the policy? And I stated what the policy was going to be. And it was very rare that I took finances to the bank. I did not want that responsibility. I did not feel like it was my responsibility. I'm going to go a step further. There may be pastors that feel different from me. I want to know if those that are in leadership are tithing. I don't know. I don't want to know what your tithe is.
Right.
Because that's between you and God. But I want to know if you're being faithful. Because if you're being in a place of responsibility in the church. But going back to the policy that I had, if by some reason. And I know one church, there was a few times that it took place because of some situation. We had a secretary treasurer, she was sick. And so others prepared, or she might have been there, that's a couple of those Sundays. Anyway, they prepared it, the deposit, everything was ready, and this is it. It will all be made out, it'll be done, I have nothing to do with it. And when I get back, the paperwork, and you best have it already recorded and record whatever needs to be the way the church, you know, records mm-hmm. it. Because when I walk back in, that and the statement from the bank, it's going to line up. You know, that was the policy. And I expected, if I went to my office or whatever, and I didn't turn a deposit slip in, I wanted somebody crawling me. Where's the deposit slip, Pastor? And you might say, well, you know, well, they trust you. Yes, I appreciate that. And I'm going to be honest with you. Don't you take it disrespectful, ladies. If this room clears and one of you are in here, that door's going to open if I can get over there. Mm-hmm. It's just out of respect and concern for you, too. Mm-hmm. We had a church that I pastored, the lady, she ended up at one of our elders on our elder board. Precious woman in her 80s. And anyway, she came to the church, visited, and became a wonderful member, as I said, in leadership. But she came to me after 2 weeks, and she said, Pastor, I want to come by the church one day, and I want to talk to you about the church. I said, okay, fine. When do you want to come? Well, there was times I was there by myself. I told my daughter, I said, she's coming X number amount of time, you know. And I said, I want you here. I said, if you don't do nothing but dust and vacuum. Mm-hmm. You know, we just have to make those safeguards. That's part of stewardship.
It's wisdom.
You know.
Yeah.
So, anyway. I know I've extended that a little bit. Material resources of ministry. This includes things such as the church building, property, and equipment. I had an instructor one time, and he was a senior pastor in the church. Bless you. God bless you. And they were running about 3,000. His name was Dr. Ron McManus. Some of you may have heard that name. He used to pastor in Winston-Salem First Assembly. And he did a class on leadership with us, and most of us in the class were pastors, and I was pastoring or wanting to get into pastoral ministry. And he looked at that class. I don't know how many of us was in the class, 15, 20 of us. And he says, I'm going to tell you, he says, the church, he said, I don't care what kind of facility you're in, if you're a storefront, whatever. He said, to the best of that church's ability, you ought to be the best looking facility or building in that community that's possible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The grass mowed, you may not have it, you know, perfectly landscaped with all kinds of trees and flowers, but he said, at least you can keep the yard mowed. Keep it neat. Make it look neat and presentable to the community. We got more response at one church that I pastored, and it was a storefront. And if anybody run off the road, they would hit our building. That's how close we were to the building.
Mm-hmm.
Had a small parking lot, and across the street, a man let us use his parking lot. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that really impressed, I think, the community was a cross that we put out front. And especially Easter, we decor it with the colors, the different colors. On Friday, on black, and then by the first of the week, white. But anyway, we decor it also with flowers, the whole cross. And we got more response out of that, just making an appearance in a storefront building. So there's things we can do. Okay. Spiritual gifts. Each believer has at least one spiritual gift. I want to interject something here. I believe as spirit-filled, spirit-led, Holy Ghost-filled, I do believe that there is the concept of what's being presented here, that we operate in some gifting. Okay. But I believe, honestly, we need to look beyond that in that of the movement of the Spirit. We ought to be where whatever gift is needed to be, the Holy Ghost can work through
that
individual.
Amen. Amen.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah,
there may be an area, you know, hey, can I sing? Y'all don't want to hear me sing, but I love singing with a choir. You know, but does that mean that I need to be the choir director? No. Okay, so there's places that our talents and our callings and our abilities can complement. But there again, I believe the Holy Spirit, because, you know, we got the cliche, I'm not qualified, but he qualifies the unqualified. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit can do that. All right. Other believers, if you're a leader, you are responsible for other people. You must help them mature spiritually and get involved in the work of ministry. God uses people, not programs, mm-hmm. to build his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Management involves getting things done for God through people.
Yes.
Through people. So remember that. I don't know, and I know all of us are different. There's introverts, there's extroverts. I'm an extrovert. I could be an introvert to a little bit, to an extent. I can't visualize an introvert pastoring a church, but it happens. I know one right now, and I'm not going to call his name. One or two of you might know who it would be. They don't come to this church, but they're kin to me. He is an introvert. But I have seen the Spirit of God use him to where he can overcome that. So we're not exempt from what the Spirit can do through and by us if we allow him. The first message of management, God gave that to Adam and Eve. He told them to be fruitful. They were to take care of the garden, to replenish it. They were to do it, have dominion over it. Do I feel bad when I hook a bass? No, I don't. I took dominion after he took dominion of that bait that I put on the end of that hook. Now I have to make another dominion decision. Either I'm going to throw him back, or I'm going to take him home and let Janice clean him.
Prepare him so y'all can eat him.
Did you hear that? Let Janice clean him and then eat him. So anyway, and you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm going a little bit too far with this. I don't think there was any issues when Jesus sent Peter to go fish, because there was taxes that needed to be paid.
Right.
Y'all might not like my term of this. I believe Jesus told that fish to go get hooked. I need you, because God created them. Yeah. All right. So much for my commentary. All right. But there again, we need to remember that we are to take care of things. We need to take care of things. There's a lot of things I can say there, but let's move on. Three important tasks of management are contained in this verse. Maximize resources by multiplying. So there's the need of multiplying to accomplish God's promise and purpose. Purpose and plans. Minimize disorder by subduing. And maintain order by ruling. So those are three principles that you can highlight there and keep in your mind. The greatest example, and this is very important, this is in your self test on page 11 of this particular lesson. And I promise you, I guarantee you, I tell you, it will be a final test question. The greatest example, and if you want to put TQ beside something I tell you, that'll be fine. But I will tell you that this definitely will be on your test. The greatest example of leadership is what? Or who?
The
Lord Jesus Christ. He is the model for all Christian leaders. You will learn later in this course about the example he set by leading like a servant and a shepherd. So there's this principle about a servant and shepherd. All principles taught in the course are demonstrated in what Jesus did and taught. Every necessary quality of a leader was evident in the life of Christ. Every task a leader must perform was illustrated by him. He set an example in training leaders and followers. And I tell you what I find amazing is how that he took 12 men. Mm-hmm. Now, let me say that, and I did, but that's not where it stopped. We don't know how many disciples he had.
Right.
Because I, for some reason, believe that if there's 500 witnesses that saw him after he died and resurrected, they were witnesses. They were disciples.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Not only that, But if you go to John's Gospel, chapter number 6, you find the discourse of the bread being his body. Well, you know how well that went. Some of the Jews, boy, they didn't like that. They thought he was teaching cannibalism. Okay, but they didn't see the spiritual significance of that. Okay, but the big question comes, because there was those that left him and never followed him that were disciples, and the questions asked. And Simon says, well, where can we go, Lord? Where can we go?
Yeah.
Simon answered it good.
That's right.
So we know that there had to be, and we know that they sent out 70 at one time, so that was 35 parties. Mm-hmm. We know that day when they were sent out, at least 35 people mm-hmm. were reached.
Mm-hmm. And he only had 3.5 years to teach them.
3.5 years
That's
to teach
them. That's not a long
time. No. That's right.
No.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And then we know there was some bad apples in the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And we had some that I really believe that loved the Lord. They were disciples. One of them was a zealot.
Yes,
and,
Simon.
You know, he was really fighting things. You think about that. His mindset. He was looking for what the natural most Jews. We're not looking for the Messiah to hang on a cross. We're looking for a Messiah that's going to come in here.
Amen.
And man, he's going to bump heads with the Romans.
Yes.
That's what they were looking for.
Yes.
Management requirements. God does not consider stewards successful because of their education, and we've dealt with that a little bit, natural ability or personality. Those things are good in the right perspective. They're successful because of their
faithfulness.
And that mm-hmm. that is on your page 11 too.
Mm-hmm.
What are the main requirements for stewardship? And then, of course, the scripture here, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Jesus told a parable in Matthew 25, but I didn't read the verse, did I? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Be found faithful. Mm-hmm. You know, my daddy used to make a statement and kind of laugh about it. Don't do as I do as I say.
Yeah, I like
that. That don't line up with scripture, does it?
No.
But he'd say it, and then he would kind of chuckle, because, and then I learned what he was meaning by it. So we are to be found faithful. Jesus told the parable in Matthew 25, 14 through 30 about servants whose master gave them resources called talents. And we know what took place there. We realize there was one that was faithful. He went and actually multiplied it. We were talking about that earlier. There's times under the task of management we're to multiply things. We need to put things in order. Just because we subdue it doesn't mean that we go and hide it. It means that we put it in the right order,
mm-hmm.
or we're faithful with the way that we apply things, and then there's the maintaining. At least I give the servant that didn't do anything with the talent, at least he had a mentality to try to protect it.
Yes.
But he didn't do what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to see, first of all, to take care of it, but to see that it multiplied, that it benefited. Those who did so were called faithful. They were rewarded. Those who failed were judged and held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
See, if we're not careful, we're going to get into a leadership mentality, and I think this falls in place with what Jesus mm-hmm. taught. I know this is not here, where there's going to be those that say, Lord, Lord, I did.
Mm-hmm.
They had a title, but they were not stewards.
Right.
Yeah. All right, the ministry of management, and there's some things that are highlighted here on page 5 and 6. It tells us here to recognize the importance of the anointing of the Lord, anointing to lead. There again, it emphasizes that anointing by God for leadership is more important than education, talent, and experiences.
Mm-hmm.
It does not excuse us from study. It does not excuse us.
Right.
You know, I don't want somebody that don't know how to spend money to be the church secretary or treasurer. You know. But there again, the anointing is the important thing. Why is the anointing important?
Because you're being led by the Spirit.
Yes. You're being led by the Spirit, and you're crucifying your flesh, and okay. It's the anointing that breaks yokes.
Mm. Yes.
Nothing else can.
Yes. Yes.
We've been atoned by the blood.
And it will also, those are wonderful answers.
Power too.
Huh?
Giving you
yeah,
power.
But
you can't leave without the anointing.
No, you can't.
Right. If you don't, you'll fall right in your face.
Our pastor says, and I know y'all have heard it, our pastor says you can't go to Walmart without the anointing.
No.
With all them spirits that are there.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
for
man.
Sure you need it.
Exactly. Exactly. But see, the anointing will exceed whatever you know.
Yes. Yes.
But also, whatever you know, it can put you in remembrance because mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. said He would put
yes.
us in remembrance.
That's right. Yes.
So we can see the applications there of this. Also, it empowers our talents.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us in this room have got different talents.
Uh-huh.
I know that Meredith has one. She can draw very good with a highlighter over there. No. Me, I'm a skip misser. Okay, that looks good. That word looks good. And then I end up reading the whole thing anyway. Okay. All right. But all of us got talents. And the thing about it is that's part of our personal makeup. And God wants to use that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He wants to use that.
Yes, He does.
What was that statement again? The anointing will exceed what? I wanted to write that down. It was so good.
I didn't have that wrote down either. It will exceed what we know or our knowledge.
Yes. Thank you.
And then Him being our teacher mm-hmm. to put us in remembrance of things. Okay. And also in experience. We may have experience in things that we have done. Okay. I've pastored 30 years. But there again, if I step into the realm of pastoring again, I need God's anointing for that because I'm going to tell you, I wasn't pastoring during the pandemic. But during the pandemic, there was things in the natural that had to be decided. But I'm going to tell you what, church leadership, they needed the direction of God
yes.
at that time. What was safe for the people? How do we step out of the boundaries of these four walls, or how do we make our building, you know, capable for instead of 300, we can bring 30.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things, and it changed. I mean, I know the social media busted wide open. Me and Janice, there was 10 weeks that we didn't go to church. Now, boy, that was real pleasant with me.
Mm-hmm.
We're having church at home. Had 10 people that were around. They were coming, not because the governor said 10. We had 10. And there was daughter and grandchildren and a couple other people. We were around all the time. And on Sundays, I guarantee you, we listened to 10 different services, plus had ours. And it was driving me crazy because we couldn't go to church.
My church refused to close.
Yes, some did.
Mm-hmm.
Some did. And I probably don't need to put this on here, but I want you to think about something because I want you to think of getting God's guidance and God's wisdom in things.
Yes.
We've got a church in our area that's probably 15 miles from us. They run about 3,000. And I've been there before and visited. My grandparents were members there. And I won't mention the name of the church. But when the governor of our state made, or the decision was made, 10.
Wow.
I want you to think about something. Mm-hmm. If they've got a building that will hold 3,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're running 3,000 people. You've got to use common sense. How can we facilitate this building if we decide we'll have a service on Sunday, we'll have a service on Tuesday, we'll have a service on, however they figure it, and more can come, and we can do the cleaning between it,
mm-hmm.
and we can facilitate 30. We can facilitate 100 and keep them separated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Just
that's
to
true.
Throw out that is not good common sense.
Yeah.
Me and Janice, during the pandemic, we went to one church and visited that were having services. And, you know, I have to appreciate what the pastor and the leadership done. They and the church would probably hold about 120, and they were running maybe 40 or 50 people. And they actually had plastic covering on every one of their microphones. They had it assigned. The pastor had a mic, pianist, whatever. Nobody used the other person's mic. Then it sanitized. Then they had rows, about two rows in between,
mm-hmm.
and then they had them staggered. Like if there was a row here, you didn't sit over here, you know, that kind of thing. They had done everything they could,
mm-hmm.
and cleaning. As soon as that service is over to the next service. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think even the when they took up the offering, the usher had gloves on.
My goodness.
And that was not a norm. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, the rubber, the gloves. So they were doing everything in their power to bring everybody that was a part of the church to come. That's where I'm saying what I said about we've got experiences. We experienced this in the past, but what is relevant right now that the Spirit can give us wisdom and counsel and direction? Well, I want to say something, but I won't. I'll say what Paul said to pray for our leaders.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Again, we have the emphasis here of how that the anointing to lead. Then biblical meeting, biblical qualifications for leadership. The management of ministry begins with the management of self. Did you hear what it said? It begins with self. Mm-hmm. Not with somebody else. It begins with yourself. Okay, the management of ministry begins with the management of self. Okay, we're going to be talking about some biblical qualifications, and they're going to differ sometimes. They're going to differ from one movement to another. And all we can do is be appreciative, but yet we have to look at it from the perspective, okay, we've got to get the mind of God. What does the Scripture say? Mm-hmm. And as a pastor, I've had to step up and say, okay, we got a situation here. How do we deal with this? And I'll tell you one of them. And it had to do with dress. Oh, Lord, where are we going? Legal. And I do set, as a pastor, I do set a standard.
Yes.
For leadership, mm-hmm. other than the regular congregation.
Yeah.
To some aspect.
Right.
And this church, I think you've been there to the Outside Tabernacle, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Sure.
And anyway, we actually started, where Dylan is pastoring, started that church in my home. Then it went to that shelter. Mm-hmm. And from Easter that year to October, and then they were able to get in the building. Mm-hmm. We had service there. I didn't think nothing of it. And I'm talking about singers, and I'm talking about leadership crossing over and operating in preaching and teaching. And come in with shorts, and what you said, okay, you've got a problem with shorts. Well, yeah, and other things.
I'm not doing.
But when we got in the building, it dawned on me, nobody's thinking about how we dress.
Right.
And I literally had to sit down and talk to some leadership, and I said, look, I'm not trying to get legal, but I said, we got to begin to think a little different.
Right.
We're not in 90-degree temperatures.
Oh, that's right.
We're in a church building.
That's right.
You know. And I'm not talking about shorty shorts, but one of the things we did have some string, you know, and no sleeves and things, you know, just being careful. So we had to address that a little bit. Did I just broadcast it to the church? No. We went to the leadership. We sat down with those that were in leadership and says, hey, let's all talk about the accountability we need here. Yeah. And that was one of the things. So,
can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
I tell them. Because just like what you're saying, but I said, I bet you would not go in that courthouse wearing what you're wearing to church.
No.
Because that judge will send you, I may get some more clothes. I said, the judge in Tarver will. I said, I don't know about the other courts.
Oh, yeah.
But it used to be Maxwell right across from the courthouse in Tarver. And if they come there and won't dress right, he tell them, I'm going to give you 10 minutes to go over there and get some.
I've
and if you ain't back,
yeah.
I send the sheriff at you.
Yeah.
You disrespect God's house, but you won't go in that courthouse dressed like that.
That's right. That's right. And I'll tell you an experience that happened to me. And you know, I know some of it's not where people's been taught. I know cultures, and we can get wrapped up into legalism if we're not careful. But literally, back in 2015, I had had a treatment. So most of you know I'd had an issue with cancer, and. Anyway, I had a treatment. We went to this camp meeting. Of course, they were inside. I knew the general overseer of this small movement that's near our where we live. And, it was cold. Oh, Lord. First of all, it was cold in that building. Well, I've got a T-shirt. I've got a long-sleeve shirt. I've got a coat on and, a dress coat. And one of my hats. out of respect, I've been taught you take your hat off.
Right.
You know, now I have preached with my hat on over there at the tabernacle, so maybe I'm hypocritical here. I don't know. But anyway, and I have forgot to take it off at the house when we've done a service. And then later Jan says, you know, but anyway, what happens is I'm sitting there and I've got my hat in my coat and I'm saying, man, I'm going to freeze. I got up before the service started, went to the overseer. And I said, sir, I said, of all due respect, I said, do you have a problem with not wearing my hat tonight? I said, I'm cold and I've lost all my hair.
Right.
And he knew. He said, by all means, Brother Harry, do. Now, what would I have done if he had said no? Well, bless God, what do you think? You know, no.
Yeah.
I'd have said, okay, Bishop, I understand. I would have either bore it, sat there, or if I got that cold, I'd have stepped out to the car. And I'd come back in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of respect for God's man, God's house.
That's right.
We cause problems sometimes.
Yeah.
We do. We cause problems that shouldn't be. Many biblical qualifications for leadership, we touched on it just a little bit. It starts with us. Leading to lead like a shepherd. Now, I think this is important because some things are going to begin to be broke down as we talk about the shepherd and the servant. Leadership to lead like a servant. And then leading like a shepherd. There's a difference. Scriptural leadership is not flashy public relations and charismatic platform personality. It is a humble service to those who you lead. Serving is what sets Christian leadership apart from worldly leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a shepherd, the qualities of a shepherd is the natural, in the natural world, are what Jesus used to describe spiritual leadership. So Jesus does show even with the shepherd, we understand that a real shepherd, not somebody that was not a novice, but one that would be a hireling, yes. Be a hireling. He's not going to take care of the sheep. He's just there to make whatever. He's there, you know, whatever. David was a real example of a shepherd.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, when you can sit out there on the hillsides, and yes, he was worshiping God, but do you... Can we comprehend the, maybe I'll not use this word, but spiritually, the therapeutic, the calmness, what he did to those sheep while he worshiped the Lord in that calm and that peace. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm a dog lover, and we've got one at the house, and he ain't nothing but a big baby, and I miss him now. He gets up in my lap every night, and he's an Australian Border Collie.
Oh, I love collies.
And his name is Sam. But anyway, we had a couple other dogs, and I literally had a Cocker Spaniel one time when me and Janice first got married 30 years ago, and his name was actually Samuel, Playboy, and we called him Sammy. Sammy knew when we sat down and had prayer. He would come up and get on the couch with us. And I taught that dog.
That dog was saved.
Stubborn. Had some stubborn ways about it, though. But literally, when we get through praying, I'd say, Sammy, give me your scripture verse. That dog would literally go, oh! And Jeremiah talks about, oh, how ye. I'm going to tell you, when we lead like a shepherd, it will not only be what we see in the natural of just somebody out there with a bunch of sheep, but there's a peace. There's it's Psalms 23, restoring, feeding, leading, because sheep wander. There's places sheep can't go where goats can go and be safe. That's what God wants us to understand when we're in leadership, how we've got to lead people. Then understanding a basic task of leaders. These include the difficult areas of decision making and solving conflict and discipline problems. Now there's two or three things here being difficult and solving conflict and discipline problems. There's three different things you're having to make maybe decisions and solving and the discipline, and some of these can be very difficult. We brought up those a little bit with the pandemic. I made some changes. I made reference that in 30 years of pastoring, I've had to ask one person to actually leave the church. That was difficult. That was very difficult. Very difficult. It was not what I wanted. I'm glad the outcome of that was. The other thing, as far as what it's talking about here, is part of it, the discipline. Well, how are we disciplined? How are we doing the discipline? If we're not doing it in a bit of biblical perspective, that's where we're going to get off course. Is there some that are going to accept the biblical discipline even if we do it proper? No, they're not. But they made that choice. But here's one of the things, and you may want to write this down, it's not in your syllabus. Anytime that we're having to get to a place, and I'll tell you what you can write down in just a second. And we're making decisions that are difficult, especially when it comes to discipline or correcting somebody. Here's what I want you to hear. If we do not do it for the purpose of reconciliation, we've missed the purpose. If it's not for the purpose of reconciliation, we have missed the purpose. If our love for them and what we're attempting to do for them is not to help them overcome, we've missed it. I get more accomplished with the way that I deal with my grandkids because they're not my children. They're my grandchildren. I can have fun with them and I can be stern. And, you know, I've got one, I can tell him, you go get it done, and he'll do it. I got another one, I'll wait till tomorrow. And the other one, if I jump right in and join with him and still let him do most of it, just because I'm there, he'll jump to it. Yeah. And the last situation with three of my grandboys, it was just them getting something straightened out that they had made, the mess. And then my one grandson, the other ones are further away. One's going back to Florida and the other one's in Lexington. He said, well, I'll get it tomorrow, Pa. I'll take care of it. And I looked at him and I said, well, all three of you made the mess in the backyard. Why should you take the responsibility? Mm-hmm. Well, I left it alone. And the one that if I'll go out there and give him a little interest, he went and done part of his. Then 2 days later, my grandson comes back and he says, youngest one. And he's out there having to do the rest of it by himself. And I let him do it by himself. Yeah. He chose that to do that. Maybe that's not the best decision. And then training leaders and followers. We all lead in certain situations, but everyone is a follower in other situations. If you look behind you and you're a leader and you don't see nobody following you, I'm not sure we're a leader. We're on a journey. And I hope we catch up with somebody that we can follow because that's what we might need to do for a little while.
Pastor Harry, this is comical, but I've always remembered this saying, which way did they go? Which way did they go? I must find them. I am their leader.
I like that, sister.
I don't know why, but that has stuck with me.
Send that to me. I like that. I might put that on my desk. Where did they go? Where did they go?
I must find them. I am their leader.
I like that. That's good. Sometimes comical things just do something for us, don't it? Both leader and followers must be trained. My senior pastor, when I went into associate pastor and the church had 300 members, I had previously pastored. But I want to tell you, that 3.5 years, almost 4 years that I was with him, was one of the best periods of my life. I was mentored like nothing else. I'd even had some Bible college and some other training. But I'm going to tell you, that was 3.5 of the best years of my life. Just the mentoring. And that's what he specialized in, is mentoring people. And matter of fact, he come to me and he says, Pastor Harry, he said, I want you to head up a spiritual mentoring class with the church. And I said, what are you talking about? And so we met on Tuesdays every week. And I began to work with others. Every month, that pastor would call every person that was in leadership, even that were in the child care of that church, that was under the covering of that church. They were to come to this meeting. Every Sunday school teacher, actual officers of the church, and we would sit down, and usually they'd be donuts, they'd be coffee. You know, there was at least 30 of us. And maybe the Sunday school teacher might have been a few more. And he literally would just minister to us out of his heart. And he would share. He would put into us. And then he would go around the room and he would ask in areas of ministry, hey, what's going on? Talk to me a little bit. Share with me. What's some of your concerns? He was shepherd leading those. He done more for me in those 3.5 years than I ever could have learned anywhere else in some of the things that I've experienced. And I'll ever be in debt to him.
And that's a rarity.
It is.
He had the heart of a shepherd.
He did. And you know, one of the things that I have to go back, it was part of who he was. Mm-hmm. Now, they've transitioned from that, but he ended up being the chaplain. And it was over the fire department, the sheriff's department, and the police department.
Wow.
Of that, well, the county, and then, of course, that's and the deputies that were there in that particular town. But today, there's an associate pastor at that church now, and he's one of the chaplains. This pastor's gone on to be with the Lord. But let me say this. He had an impact on that town. He did not just shepherd those 300 people that come to the church.
Yes.
He shepherded that town.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He didn't just shepherd the law enforcement. And there was things that he shared. Matter of fact, he come in there. I was in the church office one day, my office, and he come to the door, and I had my door open. He said, Pastor, he said, are you busy right now? I said, what you need, Pastor? He said, I got a death call. Mm-hmm. They had called him, and it was to a house. We got in his Cadillac. He had an old beat up, well, it wasn't beat up, red Cadillac. I'll never forget it. It wasn't brand new. And we take off. And we're going to take a break here in a minute. We take off, and he's doing fine with his speed and everything, but he's wanting to get there. And when we turned onto the road, he gunned that thing like he was a fire truck. And so we get up there, and we go in, and was able to minister to this man. He's beating his house up. His wife's died. He's just putting holes in the wall. His emotions. And so it gave the EMS the time to do what they needed to do. We got him to the side. Of course, it died. Those kind of things. But he was that kind of person. He could walk in one restaurant, just walk back there and go pray with the employees. That kind of thing.
Wow.
He just had that charisma. But he was real. He was real.
He would be good in the prison as the chaplain.
Yeah, he would. But he even had an effect on the mayor, and the mayor of that town just died. And I know he would have been there. He would have been there at his side. Of course, he passed about 5 years ago. And a wonderful man of God. He was Church of God, too. He was Church of God. All right, let's where are we at? Somebody tell me where we're at. I lost my place.
Success.
Are we where?
Hit the bottom of page 9.
Are we on page 9?
Mine's on page 6. Mine's on page 6.
What?
You're on top of page 6.
We're missing
six.
A lot. That's what.
Lord.
Evidently, because we all got our books because, you know, they only have 4
mine's
that day
six,
ready.
But
so
I got
we
got
waited.
Am I, have I got the right thing?
We're on page 6.
We're on page 6.
On page 6 is
we're
my course
six.
Objectives.
Okay. That's other areas of management.
Applying principles of success taught in God's word. That's where we are.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I got everything.
Where did you say, Tammy?
Applying principles of success taught in God's word.
Uh-huh.
Top of page 6. Top of page 6 in our book.
It's
book.
The bottom of page 9 in mine.
Oh my.
Does anybody else have one like mine? Jeez.
Permits. I'm not the same place you are then.
No, right where you were. Like that, right where you were. The last one you did was training leaders and followers. Mm-hmm. And then the next one is applying principles says out God's word.
Yes. Page 9.
Okay, I was on page 5.
Yeah, it flips over.
Okay, training leaders and followers. Okay, all right. Leaders must have followers. We had the little gesture. Okay, applying principles. Is everybody found where it is in your book? Okay. Applying principles of success taught in God's word. These principles will assure successful management of spiritual resources. Avoiding violations that cause failure in leadership. Failure in leading and following results from violation of scriptural principles. So if we have not been taught or we're not teachable, we're applicable to have the failures more so. And then understanding principles of biblical organization. These include leadership positions established by God and those developed because of practical needs of the church. Now, let me ask this and we're going to take a break. Is it okay? And our goal should be that it be a biblical biblical principle. But is it okay in a broad sense for the church to have to establish maybe some guidelines? And our goal is to go by biblical, but we have to look at who we are and what we are.
I think it's okay. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I think you have to do that.
You have to do that. You have to do that. You have to do that. Okay.
That's the word.
So
I think that. And then, too, the scripture come as you are, they take it out of context. They're not looking at the heart. Yeah. God talking about your heart. But they know better than some of the stuff they've been wearing.
That's right.
Lordy.
Let me give you this example, and I'm going to close for the moment. Understanding principles. Okay, we want them to be biblical, but it says a biblical organization. Understanding principles of biblical organization. These include leadership positions established by God and those developed because of practical needs of the church. All right, there is a church right now, I'll not call no names, and I said what I said about tithing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Their pastor requires, well,
I know what you're about to say.
Maybe I shouldn't say the pastor, but it's required.
He wants to know what they
make. That if you are on staff or part of leadership, you will show your tax return.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't agree.
I have heard of churches like that before.
Now,
I don't
agree with it, but if I attend there and I'm on that leadership, okay, either one or two things, in a Christian-like way, it needs to be approached. How can we modify this or change this? Or I submit to that to be accountable.
So those are things that we're,
you see where I'm trying to look at where we balance these things?
Well, the church did the same thing with the W-2.
Yeah. There's another organization, and I used to be a part of them, and for several years, and I pastored two of their churches, two of them, and they require all of their credentialed ministers to pay all of their tithe to the conference. Okay. Let me tell you what happens. You got a church out here with 25, 30, 50 people, and you got 5 of them that are ministers. That affects that local church.
But they're going to stand before God one day with that. I don't think it's my responsibility to judge them for that.
I understand. But see, I had to make a decision. If I'm going to be credentialed and I'm going to pastor your church, I have to make a decision that I'm going to follow. I'm going to step in to what you're saying. I'm doing what the scripture says I'm tithing. I don't think that's the best appropriate way. But I'm going to tell you what, I got peace. And I'm not saying this bractocious, but I saw God's blessings. And I wasn't even getting paid by one of these churches at all. No compensation. The time that I was there. I began to, and I was working a public job and pastor. I paid 10% to that church, and I paid 10% to that conference. I saw God's blessings.
Oh, yeah.
It was because I was going to be faithful.
That's right.
And God honored me.
Uh-huh.
God honored me. Any other last thought before we take a break? All right. Take your break. Be back in 10 minutes, and we'll move on.